Coming up on TMS, Happy St. Merkin's Day.
This message is for Red Sonja.
Lovingly touch your MODOK.
Everything Everywhere, all nominated at once.
I can't suck my own.
You'll get no nomination, no Oscar, and no Conductor Tar.
All sequels are adaptations.
Is anything legal in Missouri?
Thank you, weed people.
I think I found a whale burger.
I don't like hairy seeds.
Correct in effect.
An entire year of dicks.
The itch to chop down trees with Bill.
Nearly crash dieting with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
My name is Gaia. Monsters summoned from the netherworld. Destroy Earthland by fire.
The people of Earthland were overwhelmed, helpless in the face of this terrible power.
You have nothing on me.
Oh, I got a lot of shit on you.
The Morning Stream. Don't call me babe.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Tuesday, January 24th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello. Nice pause for effect and clarification and confirmation that you've got it right before you go any further.
That's right. Pause for effect and pause for correct. See
how that works? Correct in effect. Yep. My favorite metal band from the 80s.
Yep. They were great. I don't know where they are now, but good luck to them. If they look anything like the lead singer for Motley Crue, well, rest in peace.
Sorry. We're sorry for that.
We're sorry for your Vince Neil looking face. All right. Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's a new show. It's here. It's Tuesday. And it's me and Brian, of course. We're gonna have a show. All right. If you were all thinking you weren't going to have one, good news. There is one. Okay?
Exactly. If you were worried that, oh, no, they're not going to do a show on January 24th because of Merkin's Day.
Yep, Merkin's Day.
No, we don't. We always celebrate St. Merkin's Day on January 24th with an episode.
Yeah, don't Google how St. Merkin was killed.
No, he's the patron saint of hair down there.
Yeah, that's who that guy is. Anyway, we got a big full one for you today, and I want to start things off today with a phone call.
Okay.
This is a call I got and a voicemail I got that I'm having a hard time deciding whether this is a real person or not. So we have
I love this.
Put on our detective hats here. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's this voicemail I got from this lady, and it sounds just like maybe she had the wrong number, but something about the message sounds like she's not a human. And I wanted to suss that out. Secondly, I should mention anyway that I edited one part out, which was just the return phone number, because I don't know who they are.
Okay. Yeah, you want to dox them.
Sure. So let's see how this goes. Here we go.
This message is for Sonja. My name is Lisa with Dr. Holgensen's office at Canyon View Medical. He has placed a referral for a merino. If you would return my call, thank you. Goodbye.
Something about it.
She sounds a little robotic. There's places where you think she would take a breath where she doesn't. There's no pause.
Yeah, and I didn't edit that. So she is she is talking. That is how she talks. Like this part right here. Hold on.
This message is for Sonja. My name is Lisa with Dr. Holgensen's office at Canyon View Medical. He has...
That right there. Canyon View Medical, he has. Like she just goes right in.
Canyon View Medical, he has. And that wasn't... That's obviously it's not where you took the phone number out.
No, that's later at the thing. So Canyon. Okay, I didn't do this yesterday. Canyon View.
Yeah, I was gonna say look up and see if there really is a doctor. The other question is, what's the end game? If it is a scam call, I guess they could be wanting to see if your phone number is real. So if they get you to call the number they give you, thinking you're going to call and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, you've got the wrong number. There's no patient here by that name," or whatever.
Sure.
Then boom, now they'll all of a sudden have got your phone number.
Now here's so this is a real Canyon View Medical Center, or part of the Canyon View Medical Group, is located in Springville, Utah. So that's like an hour south of me. Let's see,
is the number, you don't have the number that you edited out somewhere where you can look and make sure
it generates. I don't have it I didn't write it down, but let's see. This is an 801 number, so this must be real. All right, maybe it's real. Maybe they just think I'm Maria or something, and I got an appointment. I don't know. Like when that when that happens, am I okay? Let me. Here's another question for you. Let's say this is life saving medical help. All
right. Right. Exactly. You owe it to yourself to call and say, "Hey, there's no." What was the name of the person they were looking for?
I forgot. Hold on.
This message is for Sonia.
Sonia.
This message is for Sonia.
The humans are dead. I mean, I could call in and go, look, I got a wrong number. You guys have the wrong number for this Sonia person. And, you know, you should know that for, you know, mm-hmm. in case you need to get a hold of her. You know what? I could even do that right now. Why don't we do this? Let's just do this.
Oh, do it live? No.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I'm going to call her. I'm going to get it taken care of. Let's do this.
All right.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
You got to put this number in. All right, here we go.
Why am I hearing old-timey music in the background?
Yeah, good point. Let me turn that off. All right, here we go.
Thank you for calling Canyon View Family Medicine, Springville. To speak with a receptionist, please press 1.
All right, I don't know why they're so quiet.
To speak with our billing office.
Oh, listen.
It's the same voice.
Oh, this is nice. Listen, this is nice.
Yeah, my doctor's office hold music is the most
repetitive
garbage.
Canyon View Pediatrics welcomes pediatrician Sarah Tang. Dr. Tang loves pediatrics. She did her residency at the University of Utah and Primary Children's Hospital, where she had the privilege of caring for children and their families in some of their best and most challenging moments.
Fantastic.
As a mother, Dr. Tang strives to be the type of pediatrician she would want for her own family.
As a mother.
Schedule an appointment with Dr. Tang today.
See, there's that thing, that as a mother thing. I hate that.
Yeah, but you want that's actually I'll support it there.
You'll allow that one? All right.
I'll allow that one, yes.
All right, fair enough. All right, we may be on hold for a while. It says they're open. If we get one more Dr. Tanging thing, I'm hanging up.
Oh, yeah. You know, by doing this, they might repeat Sonia's last name.
Oh.
When they confirm, and you'll have to give a phone number.
Wait, I will? Why would I have to give one?
Well, maybe you won't.
Yeah, I don't have to give him anything.
Canyon View Medical anything. Group has cared for the communities of South Utah County since 1957.
Whoa.
Our goal is to help make our community a healthy and happy place for all of us.
We happily call
South Utah County home. Our staff and providers actively participate in school.
There's a coupon code for your next visit for pediatric
the lives of our families.
All right, I'm calling them later. They're lame. They don't pick up. They got how busy can you be at 9:24 a.m. in Springville? Come on now, that's too much. All right, well, Sonia,
we're experiencing a high call volume, Scott.
Sure, like they always say.
Yes,
crap bastards. All right, well, anyway, there's that. But I have another one.
This segment was lame. Oh, fine, Lemonade.
Oh. The segment was lame. There's no segment.
I know he's kidding, but,
yeah. Oh, there's no segment, Lemonade. That was all impromptu.
This is a bit we had planned for
for weeks. We finally got to pull the trigger on it after all this subterfuge.
This bit for weeks and finally.
Yeah, finally we got it out. All right. We have an idea. I have some logistical questions about how we would do this, but we have an idea from a listener who is on the road. So listen to this.
Okay. Hey there, TMS guys. This is James the Trucker. I'm on I-30 between Little Rock and Texarkana. Anyway, I'm listening to y'all talking about how you got too much stuff and you need to pare down and you're going to option this and sell that. I had an idea. We used to do fundraisers a lot when I rode motorcycles more. And TMS Vegas would be a really cool time to do some kind of auction, silent auction, drawing, whatever, raffle for some of the stuff that you don't have tons and tons of money invested in, and do a fundraiser for some kind of charity or something. Just an idea. Love the show.
I'm always down for charities. Mm-hmm. Here's the only stinker about this. If we... one would assume you'd need to have the stuff with you, which means I got to load up a car. Driving. You'd have to figure out. You'd probably have to drive for your
I'd
stuff.
I'd have to drive instead of flying. Yep.
Which is a 10-hour thing for you, not the easy 2-hour flight normally. And then even if we did it as all right, we're bringing lists of things, and then these get mailed later. It's just a handful, but it's possible.
Logistical Nightmare. Yeah. Maybe we do a. Maybe we don't need to do it in TMS Vegas. Maybe we do a live stream where we each bring 10 things. 10 things that we have that are, you know, it's not like saying, oh, I've got this Logitech Apple Watch charger, mm-hmm. but something like, oh yeah, you know, I've got this signed Batman poster that, you know, I just don't have room to hang up anywhere, so I'll totally sell it, kind of thing.
Sure, yeah, I mean, I've got stuff like that. I mean, like, yeah. I was just talking about those Pop Toy thing, or the Funkos. Like, I've got a whole stack of those, exactly. Like, untouched, unopened freaking things. Why not that, you know? Mm-hmm. So like we'll give it some thought.
Yeah.
Because I always like doing charity stuff, too.
Speaking of new shit.
Yeah.
So I showed the Vision yesterday. Oh,
yeah, look at that. Okay. Yeah.
I have his girlfriend.
What?
Now.
What?
I have Wanda.
Whoa. She is... got a big head.
She's running and angry. Well, she's leaning forward. The Scotty Young stuff always has like kind of big chibi looking heads.
Yeah, she has definitely got the Scotty Young Scotty Young head. How are you? So you got two in a row, like just in the mail?
Two in a row in the mail. Yes, those were two that basically I looked for them online, found a few on Amazon, sorted by cost, and said, all right, what are the two cheapest ones I can get? And now what's availability? It's like, only 3 left. I'm like, oh, okay, well, then I'll buy a Scarlet Witch and I'll buy a Vision. I actually accidentally ended up with two Visions and sent one of them back. But yeah, so I'm just kind of keeping basically I've got Camel, letting me know when prices drop on any of the other ones I want, because I'm not paying more than, you know, 20, 30 bucks for these. But
sure. How many are there? Are there like a whole set? Like
almost 50, probably. Like I just kind of coming up with a list of them. I came up with about 50.
That you'd like to get. Sure, why not?
That I want to get. Yep.
We haven't even mentioned the fact. We haven't even mentioned the fact that freaking what's his name? MODOK showed up in the trailer for the Ant-Man.
Oh yeah, we haven't talked about that. Like, because that happened like on a weekend, and we didn't do a show until Monday.
Yeah, Brian's favorite ancillary villain, MODOK.
My favorite ancillary villain. Like, I love Mysterio. I love MODOK. I'm a fan of Kang too.
Yeah.
But this is not a spoiler, Claire, because it's in the trailer.
Yeah. It's in the trailer twice.
It's so. In the trailer twice.
Yeah, there's
Benjamin says, I sure hope that's not MODOK. It's not the MODOK we know and love from the comic series. It's what's his face from Ant-Man and the Wasp from the first Ant-Man movie when he got you know, shrunk down into the quantum realm.
The bald dude, right?
Bald dude.
Yeah. I like that actor. He's actually pretty good.
He is really good. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're gonna rewrite that a bit, you know.
Exactly. Because the original thing was, AIM decides to create a super smart serum. They try it out on this dude. It makes his head super large, and that's how MODOK was created. He becomes evil. I mean, that's kind of a really pared down version of the MODOK backstory. But
sure. And why can't there be more than one version of MODOK? You know. This is its own universe. The Marvel universe is vast. This is Earth, some number that isn't of other numbers. Let him be what he's going to be here. It's fine. We don't mind.
I don't know. We don't know that it's... I mean, I think this is 616 Marvel universe.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Look at that. Yep. He's scary.
It's my big-ass MODOK.
That's a good one, though. That's the one I want.
This is.
Yeah. See, that's the thing I would never sell or give away.
Nope.
Keep that forever.
This stays with me right here.
And touch it lovingly each night.
MODOK. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I even have somewhere his other face. Like, I can, this is his like face. And then I can pop that face out and put in another face.
Oh, he has multiple faces.
He has two faces. The two faces of MODOK.
Whoa. Yeah. What a two faced bastard he is. Oh, look at that. It's like a Mr. No Potato face. Head, but in the quantum realm. Great.
Exactly. Anyway.
Very nice. All right. We had Oscar nominations this morning, everybody. It happened. We usually like to mention these because it's interesting. I'm a little surprised.
There's a lot of good nerd stuff. The very first nomination that Ashley or Allison Williams and Riz Ahmed said was Angela Bassett for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Yeah, the first actor nomination.
First for a best Marvel. Actress or actress nomination for a Marvel film.
I think it's actor period, right?
No. Chadwick got nominated for...
No, not for that. Did he?
I think so.
Hold on. That doesn't sound right. Did it, I thought I read this morning it was like, oh, no, it's a big deal. It's the first actor nomination
actor. I thought, okay, you're right. I thought Chadwick Boseman got, he obviously got nominated for.
I got other stuff, right?
For, the.
What was that one you recommended? He was in this.
Yes.
The singing one.
The singing one, and I can't remember what it was. Shoot.
Yeah, I don't remember the name either. I need to watch that still.
It's funny because the way they phrased it on the news today was like, and she's the first actress to get a nomination for a Marvel film. Thinking, oh, okay, so somebody else from the MCU must have gotten one, but I guess not.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I like her a lot.
It's huge.
Yeah. We're about to watch her in Strange Days this weekend. She's good in there. Cool. Anyway, so Everything Everywhere All at Once is the leader this time. It's got 11 nominations and
Tina's joy.
Yeah. Yeah, people are pretty stoked about that.
Tina isn't, but yeah.
Oh, Tina's not. Oh, that's right. Tina didn't like it. That's right. I couldn't remember.
She gave an audible groan when the section of the film that started with All at Once, because you get the everything everywhere and then All at Once is sections of the film, and she was so done with it by the time we got to All at Once, she went the theater.
Well, so who knows how that thing will do, but it's currently leading.
Drenched Wildfire said the same thing. My wife and son went to see Everything Everywhere All at Once yesterday. Both said it was by far the worst movie they'd ever seen.
What? How is that possible?
Wow. You need to watch some of the crap we watch for FilmSack. I enjoyed it. Does it deserve a Best Picture nomination? Maybe, but I don't know. I mean, I think Banshees of Inisherin.
I mean,
let's go through the Best Picture list.
Here. Yeah. I mean, will it win? Probably not. I mean, remember Fury Road had 15 or something. And it was, and one of them was Best Picture, and it didn't win Best Picture. So it's entirely possible that the leader of the pack will not win overall anyway. I don't think this is an indicator of like who's going to win Best Picture anyway. But anyway, here's your 11 nominations. Or sorry, that movie got 11 nominations, what I'm saying. Here are your other nominations. The most nominations went to that film, and then All Quiet on the Western Front, a movie that's in my queue, but I've been nervous to click because it sounds depressing.
I every time I saw that get recommended to me, I thought, well, geez, yeah, 1930 film. I'll watch it eventually. But.
Oh, you didn't know it was a new one.
I didn't know it was a new one. No. Yeah, no. Yeah.
And it's all German all the time, that movie. No English.
I know it takes place in Germany, but it's American soldiers, isn't it?
No. German soldiers. Based on a book about it's German soldiers in World War II.
One.
And I think it's told from their perspective, and the book is written by Germans, I think.
Gotcha.
So it's like, hey, how about the German side for once?
It's also in the Best International Film, surprisingly, and this is going to make Gary from Brooklyn happy, RRR did not even get a nomination for Best International Film. It did get Best Song nomination for Nacho Nacho, but because it is a dancing musical, as Gary from Brooklyn believes it to be.
Yeah, he's sure of it.
Yes.
Let's see. All Quiet on the Western Front, Banshees of Inisherin, with 9 each. Both got 9. I think that's deserved, certainly in Banshee's case. Mm-hmm. Elvis with 8, The Fabelmans with 7, Tar and Top Gun Maverick with 6 each, and Black Panther Wakanda Forever with 5.
And of the ones you just mentioned, Black Panther is the only one that didn't get a Best Picture nom as well.
Oh, yeah, they figured they got their deal earlier on.
Yeah, exactly. But Avatar, The Way of Water, Triangle of Sadness, and Women Talking, rounding out all the ones you mentioned, rounding out the Best Picture nominees.
Yep. For director, we got Martin McDonagh. For Banshees of Inisherin, Everything All at Once, director Daniel Kwan and Daniel Schnert.
Shinert.
Is it Shinert?
Yeah, there's an extra set of vowels in there.
The Fableman, Steven Spielberg, Tar, Todd Fields, and Triangle of Sadness, Ruben Ostlund.
Yeah, no Best Directing nomination for James Cameron, which surprised a few people.
I don't know. I don't feel like you get it for your big computer movie. I don't know. You know, like, he got nominated for and won, I think, for Titanic, didn't he? I know the movie did, but pretty sure
he got Best Director that year.
Yeah, I think he did too. Let's see. Best Actor in Leading Role, Austin Butler in Elvis. He's your Elvis in that. Colin Farrell in The Banshees of Inisherin. Almost said Daredevil. It's weird. My brain almost said Daredevil. Oops. Let's see. Brendan Fraser
I want an effing costume.
I never miss. Brendan Fraser, for The Whale, which I thought would be more all over the place in here, but it's just the one.
A supporting actress, I think.
They should have done practical effects for that one, too, because they made him look huge.
No kidding. Yeah.
Paul Mescal for Aftersun and Bill Nighy for Living. I love that guy. I wouldn't be sad if he won, and I don't even know what Living is.
I know. Have not seen any of these except for Banshees of Inisherin. So we've got a bunch on the list. Elvis currently streaming, I think, on HBO Max.
Yep.
Aftersun's a rental, and I don't know about The Whale or Living.
Is Everything All at Once streaming yet, or is it still a buy thing? Is it?
I think that's streaming on Hulu.
Maybe Paramount, or maybe Peacock, somebody like that.
Yeah, that's right. I think it was Showtime.
Oh, Showtime has it. Showtime. Okay.
Yep.
I don't have Showtime right now, but I do want to see it.
I have that as part of a CBS deal. Like, I got CBS and Showtime as a bundle or something.
Aren't you, when you do that though, don't you end up paying the same as if they were separate? Or do I have that?
No.
Oh, you get a deal?
It was the cost of buy one, get one free, basically. It was like pay for CBS, get or Paramount Plus, get Showtime free.
Is that permanent or a limited?
No, I think it was a 1 year.
Oh, deal. Okay. Well, that's not bad though.
12 months. No, it's been great.
I could do a year.
There have been so many things on recommendals that I've recommended from Showtime that are really, really good. Especially that document or that biopic about the formation of Uber. Super Pumped.
Yeah, with
Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
That's so freaking good.
I couldn't bring myself to want to see it because I don't
the
like
name douche. Is a turnoff. Right?
It's not even that. It's just douche bro. I don't want to hear about those douche bro bags.
That's kind of what I mean. Like, the name makes you feel like, oh, it's going to be this whole, like, this. He's going to be saying bro every time, at the end of every sentence. Oh, bro, we got to start Uber, bro. Come on, bro.
Yeah, I worried about that. Best actress, you got Cate Blanchett in Tar. She's not in Tar, like the substance.
She's not in the film. It's not like, she's not in the La Brea Tar pits.
No. She'll not be Cate Blanchett Feather next year, okay? Anna de Armas in Blonde. How do you feel about that one? I know you were split on the movie.
If there's any part of that film that should get a nomination, it is Anna de Armas' performance, because she was great. She was the only, and I'm not just talking about like the fact that she's naked through two-thirds of it, but she did a great job of portraying this really flawed in the way that she was being manipulated by so many people at once. And it's, is heartbreaking to watch. And she pulled that off really, really well.
Let's see. We got your Andrea Riseborough in To Leslie. Don't know that person or that movie.
First time I've heard of either of those.
Yeah. Those are names not familiar to me.
Yeah.
Michelle Williams for The Fablemans. We know her. She's great. Michelle Yeoh and Everything All at Once. That'd be awesome. Get Captain Jojo her due, finally. That'd be fantastic.
Sure.
Best actor in supporting role, Brendan Gleeson for The Banshees of Inisherin. This bugged me at first because I thought, well, why are you giving him supporting? But he is. He's not as prominent in the thing.
You focus really on Colin Farrell for that movie, even though Brendan Gleeson's character kind of causes all the shit. to happen.
No, you're not wrong. And he's got that guy. You should give all five of his fingers their own nominations. If you know what I'm saying. Let's see. Brian Terry Johnson in Causeway. Don't know who that is. Wow,
not even the right name. Brian Tyree Henry.
Oh, Causeway. What did I say?
Brian Tyree Terry Johnson or something.
How did
like
I get
that?
Johnson in there?
I have no idea. You just want him to be a relative. You know him as a paperboy in Atlanta. He,
I like him.
Yes. And that movie, I don't know if I recommended it, but it's pretty good. It's got Jennifer, Lawrence, and it's one of those, God, is it an Apple TV Plus thing?
I don't know.
She's a, she's just coming out of incarceration. Anyway, I don't want to give a lot away, but Causeway is definitely worth seeing, and Brian Tyree Henry is just fantastic in it.
Nice. He should change his name to Johnson so that I can retroactively be correct.
And I think, and somebody can clarify or correct me on this, I think he and Kathy Hopkins, Cheesy G, are or were really good friends for a while.
Yeah, but if you go look at her Facebook page, she's apparently good friends with all people everywhere.
She is good friends with all people because she's good and friendly.
I have questions about it. Not in a bad way. I just have questions.
Okay. All right.
I have questions. I should really ask her since we know her.
You should.
It's not hard to ask her, but I got questions. Judd Hirsch in Taxi. Just kidding. The Fabelmans. I love Judd Hirsch. I'd love to see him win something. That'd be great.
He certainly wasn't going to get it for Independence Day, so why not give it to him here?
Sure. He was really good in Uncut Gems, though. Fantastic in that. yeah, he was really good in that. He was, what's his name's dad, right? Yeah, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Very good. Sandler's dad.
The most normal human being in the entire movie.
Exactly. The only one that doesn't cause any stress in the whole film.
Everybody else is effed. Barry Keoghan for The Banshees of Inisherin.
He's the young kid.
Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, he was good.
He was really good.
Yeah, I liked him a lot. It bugged me at first because I just was like, where do I know this kid? Where do I know this kid? Mm-hmm. And I think it's from all stuff I haven't seen. So like,
he was one of the Eternals, but you haven't seen Dunkirk.
Haven't seen Dunkirk. Haven't seen Eternals.
Oh, I thought you'd seen Eternals. The Batman. I can't remember who he was in the Batman.
Oh, I did see the Batman. Oh, he's the new he's the new Joker in the Batman. That's who he is.
Oh, okay. So we see him at the.
You sort of see him. He's like
sort of. You hear him.
Yeah, definitely. Hear
him. Chernobyl. He was in.
Oh, then I have seen him.
Yeah,
I love that thing.
And he was in that one season of Why the Last Man.
Nice. He also got Short Round and Everywhere All at Once. Everything All at Once.
No time for Oscars, Dr. Jones.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Best Actress Supporting Role, Angela Bassett in Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Hong Chow in The Whale. Kerry Condon, Banshees of Inisherin. I love her. Love her.
She is great, yes.
She's so great, dude.
She is.
Dang it.
Yeah.
I love her.
And that, you know, I'm just waiting. I know we'll never watch that for film sec, but that whole description of, a bunch of dudes and one woman in on this island.
Yeah, she was like the only lady for 100,000 miles.
Yeah, except, so it sounds like a Randy.
Except for the old lady, the old crone with the cane.
Yes. Oh, God, the witch, yes.
She was weird. She was weird. Gives me the creeps. Jamie Lee Curtis for Everything All at Once, Everything Everywhere All at Once. She's first time for her, so that's cool. I like that. Stephanie Hsu for Everything All at Once. And then you got all your other stuff. We'll skip past some of these. How about
song? Let's see. Or the screenplays would be good. Adapted screenplay, again, All Quiet on the Western Front. Glass Onion getting its, I think, only nomination.
I think that's just the one.
For adapted. Yeah. Living, Top Gun Maverick, and Women Talking. Original screenplay, again, Banshees, Everything, Everywhere, Fablemans, Tar, and Triangle of Sadness.
Yeah.
No surprise there. Again, best original song, you do get Nacho Nacho from Triple R. Applause from Talk Like a Woman, Hold My Hand from Top Gun Maverick. Lift Me Up from Black Panther, and This is a Life from Everything Everywhere. But international feature film, All Quiet on the Western Front, Argentina, Close, EO, and The Quiet Girl. Sadly, no mention of RRR there.
It's too bad.
It is. Really surprising.
Best animated film is always a fun one. Del Toro's Pinocchio. Yes. which Carter and I are trying to get time to watch. Let's see, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On from Dean Fleischer Camp.
Wasn't that started out as a YouTube, like a bunch of little short animations on YouTube, right?
I don't know. I've never even heard of it. This is news to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Let's check that out. I like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, which by all accounts is really freaking great.
No, it's crazy.
I've heard nothing but like rave reviews about that movie.
Yeah.
It's just nuts to me. The Sea Beast and Turning Red, which was delightful. Let's see. Is there anything else here?
Real quick, the best animated short film. You want to go through those?
Sure. Let's see. Let me
pull the Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse.
Yeah.
The Flying Sailor, Ice Merchants, An Ostrich Told Me the World is Fake, and I Think I Believe It, which is not the funniest title in the list. Hmm. Finally, My Year of Dicks.
Ah, My Year of Dicks.
Which.
Fantastic.
Which caused quite a funny pause when Allison and Riz Ahmed said it on the telecast.
Well, Allison's her year of dicks was season three of
Girls.
It was
all on Girls. Yeah,
it was all Girls.
It's all Girls.
Best special visual effects are always fun. All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar: The Way of the Water, The Batman, Black Panther, and Top Gun Maverick. I think those are all.
That's always a fun list, right? Because it's like, these are all the movies we love and we see.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, how about documentary? Have you seen any of these?
I have seen none of these yet, and I love a good documentary, so I'm excited about what all these are, but I've not seen any of these. Have you seen any of these?
I have not seen any of these either, and I know all the Bluey and the Budshed has been on my list, and I didn't realize it was a documentary, so I need to... need to put all these on my list and watch them all.
Yeah, others are All That Breathes, Fire and Fire of Love, The House Made of Splinters, and Navalny.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's all the big stuff. That's your Oscars. So get your Oscar pools going. Get your hot wings roasting.
start them slow cooking right now, all the way up until March 12th or wherever, whenever the date is on these.
It's coming fast, so watch for it. All right.
Yeah.
And we'll, of course, cover it here. Here is your news.
I don't watch the news.
It's time for the news brought to you by...
Hair in the sunflower seeds.
Yeah. I found a bag of sunflower seeds that had hair in it. It had a little bit of hair in it.
One strand or like a...
A little tuft.
A tuft.
Yeah. Like multiple strands of hair kind of at the bottom of the bag. Yeah. It was David's was the brand.
Maybe it was David's hair.
Maybe. I don't know.
It was David's Merkin.
I don't know. They weren't short hairs, Benjamin, in that regard. They were
curlies.
They were blondish and kind of half inchy. Something like that. Somewhere in there.
Okay.
Range. Yeah. Not cool. It's not what I want in the bottom of my bag of anything. You know?
I have a thing that's my thing. Like, you know, I can lick the fingers after the chicken wings and do all that stuff, but hair in food really freaks me out.
Could you? Okay, scenario here.
Okay.
Guy sitting across from you. Let's say it's Dave, Crazy Neighbor Dave.
Sure. Okay.
You're both having.
It happens often. Yeah.
You're both having barbecue. It's good stuff. Dave gets a big old like finger full of barbecue sauce. Would you suck his finger off? You suck it off of his finger?
No, I absolutely wouldn't.
Okay, good. Don't do that.
I might suck the barbecue sauce off Tina's finger, but even then it's like my own fingers. That's it. That's pretty much where, you know.
I can't even do mine. I can't, let alone my wife's.
Yeah.
Can't do my wife's, can't do my friends, can't even do my own.
That's just crazy.
Just forget it. Give me a big fat napkin any day. I'm good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start with this story.
The fact that you phrased it is, would you suck his finger off?
Yeah, I know. I regretted it as soon as I said it.
Yeah.
Kansas City Drug Recovery Center concerned with the smell of a grow operation. Oh, see, this is the thing people don't think about, man. You got these, like, you know, places where people are in rehab, and then like two doors down, you got a place growing weed. Yeah. Oh, man. Something's in the air. It says here on East 23rd Street and Indiana Avenue in Kansas City, Missouri, a marijuana grow factory moved in last year, but a nearby drug addiction recovery center said that there's been one big problem. You smell it. It's got a very strong smell, says Ken Vick, the executive director of Benilde Hall. All right.
Not Belinda Hall.
No.
Benilde Hall.
Or Carlisle or any of those.
That's right. Total different Benilde.
He's talking about the stench of pot filling the air. The organization spent the last 30 years helping men overcome drug, alcohol, and behavioral health issues. About 100 men lived there for a few months, taking a nearby bus to get to work. However, the bus stop is across the street now from this new grow operation, meaning the men are smelling marijuana as they wait for their work ride. It's actually activating their urges, says Vic. Mm-hmm. This activates the part of the brain that causes an urge, which tends to make it harder for them to focus and want to return to use. I don't know. What are you going to do? You know,
I think that is a thing where, like, there should be a radius of what you can't, what you can't build near a rehab facility. And I think, you know, certainly a grow house, maybe like a bar. You probably can't have a bar on the same strip mall as a as a rehab facility. Feels like a bad idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels like that actually should be kind of a restriction for sure.
Pops in Recline in the chat says, who was there first? This place was there first. They've been there for 50 years. Yeah, the
rehab facility was there first.
Yeah, they've been doing it for like half a century. So
yeah, the growth facility moved in last year. So it's
And I think it was that coincided with legal weed in Missouri, right? I think.
Right.
Wait, is it legal in Missouri? I don't actually know that.
I don't know either.
Like, can you have a grow place in a state where it's not yet legal?
No, I don't think you can.
Okay, so it must be.
Yeah, Drenched Wildfire says yes.
All right.
Yeah, I can smell. So when I pick up somebody who works in a grow house versus works in a cannabis store, there's definitely a different kind of smell. Like working in a store, there's kind of the smell of the smoking around them. Mm-hmm. But and just someone who smokes a lot. I actually did pick someone up yesterday who got home from work, put on his sweatpants, cracked open a couple beers, and then said, "Oh, I need some pot," and so called me as a Lyft to go pick him up, drive him to the cannabis store, and then drive him back to his house because he was smart enough to say, "I had two beers, I shouldn't be driving." So
good for him.
But then there's a totally different smell for a person who works in a grow house. A much more like a sharp, kind of a tangy, like vinegary kind of smell versus the smell of someone who smokes it.
Yeah. So it's the real stuff. It's the raw stuff that gets right to the heart of what they want, man. They want it. Here's what I would ask. Can DoorDash bring someone weed in a weed state? Is that a thing that you can do?
No, because there's no responsibility on the DoorDash person to check ID or any of that stuff.
So the ID rules wouldn't hold.
I think it's the ID rule. Yeah, that's got to be a big part of it. Just that.
Okay.
Yeah, they do. They do have delivery services, though. I wonder how that works. I guess if it's arranged through the store, and the person who delivers it from the store, like is an employee of that store, can check ID and make sure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, let us know, weed lovers. How do you get your weed delivered? Do you have to go get it? Does someone
weed bring it? Lovers?
Let us know.
Yeah.
Japan in the news. You know, the Isle of Japan. The great,
I'm familiar, yes.
Yeah, the great empire of Japan is in the news.
Uh-huh.
Japan sells dead whale pieces in vending machines to boost trade. This is just the stuff that Brendan Fraser left over from the movie. It's just big chunks of him.
I think this is the stuff left over from that explosion in Oregon 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah, they're still going through that. You know, you got to get rid of it somehow.
Still getting pieces, yeah.
It says here, Japanese whale hunting company has started selling parts of dead whale in vending machines to, this is an attempt to boost trade. Tokyo-based Kyoto Senpaku last month set up four machines in the capital and other places selling whale skin, frozen whale meat, and canned cooked whale pieces. That's a fun label to see, isn't it?
Canned cooked whale pieces. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'd try canned cooked whale pieces. Sure.
I'd try whale. I've never had whale, but I would try whale.
Yeah, if it's cooked, sure. By the way, Adam 12 says, yeah, you must show ID when you go into the shop, but for delivery, you have to send them your ID online first when you place the order. So that's how they know is you send them your ID.
So online. Could you have done that and then DoorDash can pick it up?
You think? Yeah. I mean, if DoorDash
or any of those guys, Postmates, yeah,
or Grubhub or Postmates or whatever. Yeah. Okay. So.
All right. Nice. Thank you, weed people, for your weed info.
Thanks, M12. He works in the cannabis industry, by the way.
Oh, very nice. Can he be our, what can he be?
Can
be
our weed man.
Yeah, he can be our expert. Every time I got a weed question, we're going to toss it your way, man.
That's right.
And that'd be great. All right, where the hell was I? Oh, let's see here. The plan is to set up 3 more vending machines this month, from 1,000 to 3,000 yen, which is about £6, which is about, what, $5 or something. You can buy the whale meat. If the meat sells well, the company plans to open up 100 vending machines over 5 years. Conservationists decried the move as desperate, cynical sales ploy by a cruel and declining whale hunting industry. whale meat sales have plummeted in Japan over the last 50 years, so this is an effort to boost trade to support continued hunting. According to the Whale and Dolphin Conservation Charity, it says the company wants to convince the Japanese government it has good business models to expand quotas in future.
You know, I guess saying that, yeah, I would try whale meat, that is kind of like the equivalent of saying, sure, I'd eat Bengal tiger, or I'd eat, you know, some protected animal thing. So, you know what? No, you keep your whale meat, and I hope you never, I hope you go out of business, whale hunters, and you can't kill whales anymore.
You did it. Nicely done.
Yep.
I mean, there are indigenous folks who live...
Backtracked beautifully.
There are indigenous folks that live in like Siberia or live in the upper Arctic stuff who entire culture is all about eating.
Yeah,
they eat blubber and all that. Those people are fine. We're not talking about them. Mm-hmm. We're talking about you fancy schmancies who want to put it in restaurants and vending machines. Mm-hmm. You jerks. Exactly.
Claire says if either of us ever try whale meat, she will never listen to our show ever again.
Oh, man, Claire. All right, Claire, here's the deal. What if...
I love when he begins with a what if. Here we go.
All right,
there's a hair in the whale meat and we have to lick our fingers off afterwards?
No, here's the deal. What if I'm at a restaurant and there happens to be whale meat at the table? I didn't order it. I didn't ask for it. But someone says, here's a little quarter inch piece, Scott. Eat it. You would stop listening to the show if I eat that little quarter. Oh, no exceptions. Okay, no exceptions. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll teach us not to eat whale meat ever.
And whoever ordered it, I'm never eating with them again.
What if I'm up in the Arctic and I'm in an igloo sitting around with some lovely Inuit people and they're like, oh, we've prepared our family traditional thing. It's got whale meat in it. How about then? I'm eating that. I'll tell you right now, I'll eat that. I will honor those people. Okay. So you take your flag burning... The pinko hippie tree hugging lifestyle.
Isn't there there's a burger place on the strip that's Mark and Donnie Whaleberg called Whale Burgers, and I think they sell whale burgers.
Oh, is that a thing? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Donnie Whaleberg and Marky Mark Whaleberg.
known for wearing underwear and yelling at I can't think of his name.
That kid's got the right stuff.
He's pretty great. Arby's does not have whale meat. Sorry. They say they have meats. They do not have whale meat. Sorry.
They do not.
That's going to do it for now. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll spend some time with our pals, Bill Duran. And, of course, after that, Bobby. Bill and Bob, we call them for short.
It's the Bill and Bobby hour.
It's the Bill and Bob show. It sounds like a morning show of its own right. So, anyway, stick around for that. We got an email for Bobby as well, which I'm excited to read. So, should be fun, but we need music, so Brian, provide it.
Yeah, so this is a new solo project from Christine Capua from the band Tiny Fireflies. It is called Tiny Microphone. She's got a brand new single featuring Gary Olson of the Ladybug Transistor. The new album is called Other Cities, and it comes out February 3rd. Go check it out. Big thanks to Dark Secret Media for letting me know about this. The new single is called Stranger. Here is Tiny Microphone featuring Gary Olson and Stranger.
I walk down your street now. to get high. You would talk about dreaming like there was something to believe. I can't admit you're a stranger.
Thought you would leave a mark so deep that I'd always remember, but that was so long ago. I can't admit you're a stranger, 'cause when you say my name it sounds familiar.
Can I get for you?
Do you know of a place where sailors hang out?
Sailors? I see them at night. We close at 8, but I often see them from just before that.
I see.
Oh, what am I gonna do?
Yeah.
The Morning Stream. Barbara Kopetsky died in the war. I'm Barb Wire.
And we've returned. Who was that one more time?
That is the band Tiny Microphone, a solo project from Christine Capua. It is a new single called Stranger. Check out the full album, Other Cities, early next month.
Very nice. All right, everybody. Batten down the hatches because it's time to learn how to make stuff and be creative. And we're going to do that with our old pal, Bill, who will join us now.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Bill Duran joining us from punishprops.com, the wonderful place you can go on YouTube or otherwise to see really cool stuff being made. He comes on the show and gives us advice, sometimes works his projects into the conversation, and sometimes it's just good old-fashioned advice for creatives. Bill, welcome back.
Good morning, friends.
Hi.
Happy to be here.
Nice to see you. Did you know? Well, let's see. I don't know if I want to bring this up or not. Okay. We had a brief interaction online about this new game coming from the Steam World people, the SteamWorld Dig people.
Oh, cool. I like those. Yeah.
Yeah, I love every game. They've never made a game I didn't like. And yeah. they always, every game they put out, with the exception of 1 and 2 of SteamWorld Dig, those were two very similar games. But every time they do a game, for the most part, it's like a whole new genre. It's like, hey, we're trying something totally different in this world. And they've got a fully 3D realized thing coming soon where you're kind of a bounty hunter thing. And they didn't talk about that. But this week they announced they're making a city builder based in the SteamWorld Dig universe.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
And it looks freaking rad. And I thought of you, not just because you replied on Twitter, but I also thought of you because all the little trinkety things in it looks like shit you'd want to make.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I'm also obviously hooked on games where you have to make things. It's just in my DNA.
Yep. Yep.
We started a new Valheim game this weekend.
Oh, no.
Because I wanted to make little houses.
Did they ever, did they get the new biome? There's supposed to be a new biome
out. Yeah, Mistlands. I want to check that out too. But yeah, I don't know. There's something about
pulled you.
Stuff.
Something finally pulled you away from Satisfactory, huh?
Well, back to Valheim. I have about 40 more hours to put into that game again until I beat it again. but I had the itch to chop down trees, you know?
Yeah. Sure.
Sometimes you just want to chop down
Sometimes
trees
you want to hit a tree. You want to hit a tree with a stick and watch wood fly out of it. That's just the thing. Well, good. Well, anyway, when that thing comes out, we'll probably have more to talk about. But this week, what do you have for us today?
I've been obsessed with making stuff that has moving parts. And I'm excited because Brittany's been getting into it too. She got an old lock from her grandfather's barn, this like 100-year-old crusty lock, and wanted to figure out how to replicate it. So she's been taking it apart, figuring out how all the little levers and the key and the springs work. And it's just fascinating.
I love that
stuff. So I want to talk about that, designing and making things with moving parts, with mechanisms. And I have a book recommendation right off the top.
Oh, what's this, Wendy?
Yeah, right? This book is called 507 Mechanical Movements. There is a website. I'll put it in the chat. It's 507movements.com. Uh-huh. This book was written in 1901, and the drawings look like it, which is probably my favorite part.
Yeah.
Yeah, the website actually has some of the images and some animations of all the moving parts.
Oh, yeah, look at this. Ooh, this is cool.
That's cool.
Right?
Old school.
Yeah. So if you're designing something that has moving parts, this is going to show you, like, if I look at the glossary here of terms, you could look for how a cam works, or how a helicograph, or how a Lewis? Maybe that's a guy that made stuff. Learn how Lewis works.
How does Lewis work?
And pumps and screws and presses and propellers. Like, this is the sort of textbook of different individual movements that you combine together to make a bigger mechanism. Mm-hmm. And I'm obsessed with it. I love it.
Mm. This is interesting because this author, Henry T. Brown, it's the only thing he ever wrote. And it's... There are a dozen spinoffs and people with their own rift on it. This must have made a huge impact. Obviously, you're talking about a book in 2023 that was written all the way back then. Like, that's, there must be something
still
to
useful.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It was the first book on the New York Times bestseller list.
So, what's really cool about it, though, is that all of this stuff is still relevant for things like 3D printing, right? Like, if you want to 3D print a mechanism, how do you design the parts? Well, you look at this thing and you figure out how all this stuff's going to go together.
Nice.
Another thing I really love doing, because I've designed a few mechanical systems in my day, is to look at examples of what you want to replicate. So I made the Blade Runner blaster a while back, all 3D printed. The original Blade Runner blaster, the prop was built around a Bulldog revolver. So I went on the internet, and I bet if I look right now, I'll find it. I found an exploded diagram of the real sidearm, right?
Yeah.
Bulldog exploded diagram. if you know the words to look up, there it is. Oh, exploded diagrams are my favorite. Just all the parts pulled apart. Yeah.
Mine too. I love those.
And it shows you all the parts, what they look like, how they go together. And when I made my version, I just copied it. I just copied that diagram. Now, it took a couple tries, but I got it to work. I could look and tell how the spring works. There's a couple different versions in that diagram for the hammer. I picked the one that worked for me. And I was able to copy it, which was really cool. And then I 3D printed all the parts. Before doing any 3D printing, though, I did like a mock-up. I had a piece of wood, like a board, with some like cardstock and nails as the fulcrum and like rubber bands as the springs. Because you could do incredibly simple prototypes like that to figure out the diagram or to figure out the mechanism. Because I'm here to tell you, if there's more than one moving part, there are movement relationships there that do not become apparent until you start playing with them. Mm-hmm. Like, it might make sense in your head, but until you see it working or not working, rather, in real time, the concept doesn't snap in your head, right, until that happens. Right.
There, I found a YouTube channel that does nothing but 3D renders of every one of the 507
That's what I'm talking movements. About right there. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, those are the videos I watch at night after my wife goes to bed.
Wow. This is Bill's ASMR, you guys. We found it. Right. Nice work.
Yeah, but it'll show you. So, like, if you have something that's rotating and you want something else to rotate at the same pace, but in 90 degrees from that first one, then that one that was just up on the screen would do it. It's two pulleys with a belt around it that twists 90 degrees.
Yeah, the one that blew my
Square
mind.
Square gears?
Yeah.
It's worm gears?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Look at that worm gears. Look at this, you guys. See, that's that's a trip. The one with the two square gears that somehow fit?
I know, right?
I don't know how that works. That's crazy.
You know what's cool about worm gears is they can't be back-driven. So if you would drive the worm gear, the weird-looking gear there, and it pushes the other one, but it doesn't work the other way around. You cannot back-drive a worm gear.
Oh, that's wild.
Which can be very important in different mechanical systems.
Never try and back a worm gear, I always used to say when I was a kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to, it's old advice, but it holds today. Look at this one here. This is the lips gear. That's insane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
So another revolver I designed was the one from Trigun, for Vash the Stampede's revolver. And for that one, I purchased an airsoft revolver, and I just took it apart, looked at how all the guts worked, and made my own version.
Nice.
It is not a simple mechanism, I'm here to tell you.
I'm sure, yeah.
So when you pull the trigger, the hammer goes back until it gets to a certain point, then it snaps forward. It also rotates the cylinder 60 degrees, but there's a little tab in there that prevents a cylinder from moving at all until you pull the trigger a tiny bit. And then it allows it to spin briefly, and then it locks it again.
Mm.
Very delicate relationship there. But also, it's a double-action revolver, which means you can pull the trigger and it'll shoot it, or you can pull the hammer back, it'll lock in the back position, and then when you pull the trigger, it'll snap forward. So it had to do all of those things in harmony. And it took a lot of tries to figure it out. So many little relationships that rely on things being in the correct position. And if they're not, like, especially that the point that things revolve around, that when you move those just millimeters in one direction or the other, it changes all those relationships. So it took quite a few iterations to figure it out.
Maybe that's why they call it the Trigun. You got to just keep going.
Yeah.
Yep.
Keep trying.
Yep. That show, you watching that new show, by the way? Have you seen the three episodes or whatever?
But our pal April saw it, and she told me I have to see it.
It's fantastic. It's real good. I've only seen the first episode in English. The other two are waiting translation or waiting for localization, so I'm going to wait and just do the whole thing in English. But love it so far. And I kind of like the previous Trigun. Didn't love it, but it was okay, the 2D stuff from years ago. But this new thing is like the perfect combination of 2D and 3D. It's like they finally figured out what is anime and how can it still be anime in 3D without looking weird.
Very cool.
And they pull it off, and there's some of the most dynamic action scenes I've seen in anything. It's so cool.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, you'll love
it. I know it's exciting because several of my prop maker friends have already started making the gun from the new show.
Yeah, that's the Try Harder gun.
Happy with my old one. I got it right behind me there. I still think it looks pretty cool.
Nice. Nice, nice. Well, cool. Well, this is great. Go ahead.
Real quick about animatronics. You probably also enjoy not just like the mechanical stuff like this, but things like like the animatronics at Disney World and
oh, yeah.
things like that. The guys who make those video games, like I have, I'm trying to remember, New Wave Toys, like all the 1/12 size Missile Command and Asteroids, have a Zoltar coming out that's 1/12 size.
Oh, cool.
So it's got, you know, the little, all the movements of his eyes and his mouth and his hands.
I want that.
Thing, you know, love to take that apart and see how that all works together.
I would love that.
Yeah, take stuff apart, everyone. Mm-hmm. film
if you can afford it. Yeah, right, exactly. Take pictures along the way so you know where things go back together.
Yeah.
Because stuff has springs in it. When you open it, pew, things go flying. Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
The question is, if you make a wish to be big, but it's on a 1/12 size Zoltar, what happens? Do you become big but kind of just 1/12 the size of Tom Hanks?
Only 12% bigger.
12% bigger. Okay. Nice.
I want the version that I saw in Vegas where they converted it to have Post Malone selling beer in there. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
Yeah, we were there.
We were. That was the one in Resorts World.
Yeah, yeah. Right by that big, that giant
big sphere.
Sphere thing that just blows my mind.
TV, so cool. TV sphere, yeah.
Well, Bill, as always, a pleasure to hang out with you. You have a little bonus something for us this week?
Sure do. It's a newer YouTube channel called Inheritance Machining. And I guess he inherited an entire machining shop from his grandpa or his dad and makes little machining projects. But it's filmed really well. The video I just sent is him making a knurling tool from a kit. If you're getting into machining, a very old school thing that still exists is you can purchase kits that give you all the stock metal and a diagram, and then you have to use your lathe and your mill to build this thing. So he's building a knurling tool for his lathe, and I find that stuff just endlessly fascinating.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, this is cool. I also like the vibe of his channel. This is Brad.
Mm-hmm.
Very mellow.
Yeah.
Oh, and he'll frequently, when it comes to like designing a project, he'll sit down with paper and a drafting table, mm-hmm. draw that thing by hand, and that tickles me in the best way.
Yeah,
very cool.
Tickles you in all the right places there, Bill. Well, there you have it. It's Bill Duran, everybody. punchprops.com in the meantime, and if you've got any questions or thoughts about Bill, you can always send those in via email or contact him, and we'll talk about them here on the show. Bill, have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next time.
You got it. See ya.
Bye now.
See ya.
And that Punish Props video, the one he talked about for you home listeners, is available at quicktms.li.
Nice. Why can't I find Bobby? Oh, there he is. All right. His name throws
Bobby
me.
Bobby Franks.
His actual name always throws me. With the way it's displayed in Discord is weird.
Robert Holden Frankenberger.
Hello, Robert. All right, let's play his thing because we have a theme for him. So here you go. Where is it? Right here. Whoops.
Science.
It is science. Time for some science discussion with our old pal Bobby Franks, who's right here hanging out doing stuff. There's his video. Look at him, you guys. Look at that glorious beard.
Bask
and
in
hair.
That glorious mane.
That's right. Did you fly today or no? Free of flying?
Oh my gosh, I did. I'm shaken. It was I almost crashed the plane into the ground.
Really? For reals?
Jeez.
That almost really happened? Tell me more. I need to know more about this tale.
So, I have to explain, not very quickly explain a concept because of a term I'm going to use. It's called the roundout. When mm-hmm. you're coming in for a landing, when you land a plane, you're actually flying it at the ground, right? Mm-hmm. The nose is pointed at the ground at a certain point. And it's a very shallow angle towards the ground. I think it's like 3 degrees usually. So it's not steep.
Yeah.
But it's steep enough that you will crash into the ground because you're pointed at it.
Sure.
But there's a point in the landing and it's very low to the ground. It's like 50 feet above the ground, I think, tops that you begin to, maybe even lower than that, you begin to round, wow. What's called the roundout, which is you lift the nose up.
Yeah.
And
50 feet? Seriously? That close?
Yep.
Jeez. Okay.
And so that's why they say that landing the plane is absolutely the hardest part that you will learn. Mm-hmm. Is because you have to gauge those distances. You have to learn when to do it, how quickly to do it. Because here's the thing. When you're coming in for a landing, also, you want your plane to be slow. Because it's all about managing the energy of the plane, right? So when you land a plane, you're not pushing it into the ground. You're not just like smacking it into the ground, mm-hmm. you are continuing to fly the plane right above the ground, like a feet above the ground, until you slow the bleed off enough energy that the plane can't fly anymore, and it just literally falls out of the sky, but you're like a foot off the ground, so it's fine, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So that's how landing works, and so it's you have to do it very carefully, as you can imagine. Anyway, so the roundout happens at a certain height, and then that's when you start to reduce your power, and you're holding it off and slowly doing what's called a flare, which is pitching the nose up so that your back wheels hit the ground first. All right, so now that I've explained all that,
yeah.
Last time I went, I was doing bad at landings because I was rounding out too high. And what happens is you round out too high, you're going too fast, and you start to balloon up and down, and that's not safe either. So you end up having to go around. So you don't want to round out too high. And I kept doing that over and over again. And partly that was because it was very windy that day. But so this time I'm in my head thinking, well, I'm not going to round out too high. I know what the problem was last time. I'm going to be careful. I'm going to trust my instincts, and I'm just going to not pull up too early because I'm afraid of hitting the ground, right? So I'm going to let myself get a little bit closer before I did. And so I'm coming into the ground, and I hadn't quite rounded out yet. And I'm just about thinking, like, my brain just switched over to, I should round out now. And I hear and feel my flight instructor grab the yoke and go, oh, God!
Whoa, oh, no. Really? Damn.
When they have to get involved, oh, no.
Yeah.
And so I kept my cool, and he, after that, kept his cool. We landed the plane, and we got off, and I was only landing one time that day because we were doing maneuvers that day. It was today. I was only landing one time today because we were doing maneuvers out in the practice area. Mm-hmm. But we get to the parking, and I park, and he goes, normally he's out of the plane by now, and he's just sitting there, and he goes, so I don't want to worry or discourage you. Everything was pretty good about that landing except right up at the end, you know. And he said, but my style of instruction is, it usually takes a lot for me to grab the controls.
Oh, no. Oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
And I told him, go ahead.
At least he's talking to you. Like, the worst thing to me would be he silently writes something on his clipboard and then gets out of the plane and walks away. Like, that would be worse to me than actually saying, okay, well, you know what, you screwed up, right?
Yeah. No, and that's kind of what he was doing, and we talked about it, and it was because I was overcompensating for the previous week, and he was like, look, I get that, totally get it, you're trying to get this right, you know, and he said, but if you're gonna err on any side, you need to err on the side of being too high rather than too low. So totally makes sense, but it really shook me up. All on the drive home, I could do nothing but think about what would happen to my children and family if I had crashed that plane.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. Not to mention this segment. Wait, give a thought to our segment.
Yeah. What about us? What about us?
I'm sorry, guys. I don't want to worry you.
Jeez. We don't want to be first on the list, but we want to be on the list, Bobby.
Yeah. No kidding.
But I'm trying to shake the feeling before I go again on Thursday, and I need to shake that before next time because I can't let that distract me. I know what I did. So.
On Thursday, will you go right back to, you know, landing a plane, or will it be like, all right, we're going to take a, you know, we're going to take a break from landing a plane for a session, or is
I'm sure you got to
get right back on that horse as quickly as possible?
Yeah, we need to get right back in it because I need to make sure. It's kind of like
it's a confidence thing.
Yeah, the way I see it is, and they say this a lot in people who get into car accidents, that sometimes, especially if you're shaken up by it, sometimes the best thing to do is to get right back in a car and start driving. You know how to drive, and you're fine. You just had an accident, and the longer you wait, the more it can sit in your head, and you need to like go through the motions again and convince yourself that it was just an incident, you know, like, and you're fine.
Let me ask you this. So, if your instructor shows up in like a big puffy fat suit, will you be offended that he's, you know,
if he says, well, today I'm going to be flying the plane.
Yeah. Even worse. But if he's like got a helmet on and some roll cage stuff and, you know, all kinds of crap, bubble wrap. Yeah, that's a good one. You'll know what's up. You'll know how he feels. Right. Well, anyway, I'm glad you're here and you didn't crash. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, for sure.
You and me both.
Yeah, I'm very glad about that.
Thank you for that, Bobby.
Here is I got an email related to you, if you'd like to hear it. Would you like to hear this? Actually, I guess it's a text from a listener. Is it a text or an email? Doesn't matter. Either way, someone. Oh, it is a text. His name is Lee, and he says, "Hey, Scott. Hey, guys. Sorry, but Bobby is wrong about the car not being able to be. Or sorry, about the car not being safe in lightning." It is very safe place to be in lightning.
You're down, Bobby, by the way.
Yeah. He says it's not because of the rubber tires. It's because your car will act as a Faraday cage and protect you from the electrical charge. See attached GIF. There was no GIF. Anyway, he says, but if you have a window open, you leave an open path so it can. So keep those windows closed. Have a great one, Lee. So Lee says, Faraday cage car, totally protect you. It's not the rubber tires. Bobby, what do you say? What's your reply? What's your rebuttal?
He's totally right. That makes perfect sense. But a couple of points of clarification to defend myself a little bit, I guess. I never said that the rubber tires were anything.
I think that was me. I think I was the rubber tire guy. So yeah, don't give that. Don't lay that on Bobby.
I never really said that I thought that a car was not a safe place to be. I think I specifically said I don't know, but I would guess. So my guess was, I think, wrong, because I looked in. You sent me the text yesterday, so I looked into it to make sure everything was right.
Did you find the GIF? Like, did you go online and search for
it? I did not see this GIF, no.
There's no GIF. He says he attached one, but I didn't get a GIF.
No, I'm saying that Bobby could have like searched online based on that information and found a GIF.
Gotcha.
No, I didn't. No. But yeah, apparently there are not. It's hard to find reports of people dying from lightning strikes while in a vehicle. So I'm guessing that this is probably really the case. The science checks out. Yeah, it would direct it around you. But my point I was making was that I don't think I would want to be in a car either, because there's probably still risk, you know. If you're touching anything metal while you're in the car, then you're dead.
Mm-hmm. So
you got to make sure that doesn't happen. But also, like, sparks and stuff can go off. Like, fuel could ignite. Remember, I was telling you the lightning bolt itself is 50,000 degrees Celsius.
That's a lot of degrees Celsius.
Yeah, but I guess people have survived this before, and cars have survived it and stuff like that. So,
well, the chat room provided a link to the Top Gear dudes. This is an older video because everyone looks really young in it. They're all children, basically. But
no kidding.
Anyway, they set up a scenario where they get
fresh-faced little boys.
Yeah, they set up a scenario where they recreate this, and I don't know what the outcome is. But
did anybody have a timestamp?
Yeah, I kind of want to see it get shocked here. Let's see.
You know, it'll be the end of the video.
Probably.
Oh, that's true.
Let's see. Oh, I see it. Okay, so he's in there. They're waiting. Okay. Ooh.
Oh,
it's getting shocked.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just basically directing a direct equivalent electricity through
almost like a Tesla coil at it, but not quite.
Yeah,
the coil. Yeah.
They're at a power station or something, which explains it. Anyway, looks like he lived because he went on to make more Top Gear.
Up his hair a little. Oh no, I guess that's the way his hair normally looks.
All right. Well, that answers that. Thank you for your text. If you guys have, you know, questions or thoughts about stuff Bobby talks about, like his landing discussion today or whatever, you can send those in. We're happy to read them when you get in. But Bobby, you're not here to talk about any of that. What are we here to talk about today?
Imagine you brought something to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. So Vegas is coming up.
Sure is.
I don't know if you guys know. Yeah.
Yep.
It's just now less than 90 days. It was 90 days yesterday.
Right.
So because Vegas is coming up, I'm thinking, looking back at old pictures and everything, and I realized I think I need to lose about 10 pounds before Vegas comes.
Oh my gosh. You're tiny. You're a little tiny guy compared to me. Mm-hmm. Me and I'm a big fat guy. Yeah, you're a little guy. You're fine. You're good.
I know.
You're nothing but a little guy.
You're nothing but a wee man.
So I was looking into that. I was thinking about it, and I promise today, this is not a 5 scientifically proven ways to lose weight fast. I promise that's not what we're talking about.
Darn it.
It got me thinking about, you know, the really popular thing that people are doing now, intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Scott does that.
Yeah, I do. Well, sort of. My version of it, but yeah. Yeah. Do you
kind of success have you seen from that? Because that's what I did. I looked up what science exists and everything to find out what, you know, whether or not I'm actually going to do it. I'm just curious because my skeptical alarm bells are always on alert when people are talking about different ways to lose weight.
Right? Yeah, no, and you should, I think. I think that's a healthy way to look at it. I did one based on my doctor's recommendation. She said, here's what we want you to do. You're busy in the morning anyway.
Yeah.
So usually you're not eating breakfast, right? And I said, yeah, not really. And she goes, okay, that's fine. Just don't eat breakfast. And then when lunch comes around, you have lunch or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then whatever you're doing for dinner, just make it happen before 7 p.m.
Right.
So basically you create a bigger window of like sleep metabolism and all that stuff can happen with less heavy lifting because you're not eating at 10 o'clock.
Right.
I haven't always been perfect at it, but for the most part, I've stuck to it. And it did make me, or it put me in a place where I was losing weight, but I definitely plateaued at a certain point.
Sure.
And to go any further than that, I'd have to, you know, there'd have to be a more rigorous exercise regime, a better, what I'm actually eating during the day, that kind of stuff needed to happen. But it did seem for a chunk of that to shave off about 15 pounds pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So that was my experience with it. And I, you know, experience may vary, I guess.
So like I said, I looked into it and it was actually very coincidental. I was looking into it and thinking about it, and a study was just published on January 18th. That is the largest participant study that has been done looking at what they call time-restricted eating, which, you know, there's a couple of different ways you can think about time-restricted eating, but intermittent fasting is one of them. And so they were looking at the efficacy and how, what does it actually do anything?
Right.
And so from your experience, you're saying you think it does.
Yeah.
Brian, what's your instinct tell you about intermittent fasting?
If I'm doing that sort of thing and I'm just overeating during the times that I'm not fasting, then I feel like it's not going to do anything for me.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no,
that, sure.
Yeah.
That feels like it's got to be a combination of that and a discipline thing. Like if I'm pounding down a big thing of Cheetos, but I didn't do it during my fasting time, then, you know, it's like with anything, you've just got to have
anyone who believes that is doing it wrong, because that seems ridiculous. Like the whole point is literally to have less caloric intake.
Yeah.
And if you are just filling those spaces, the shorter amount of spaces with more calories, then what are you doing?
Obviously. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, like with a non-intermittent fasting, like just doing regular, it's really still just a matter of discipline and not eating the crap that you shouldn't be eating.
Good. Yeah. So you guys have exactly the right frame of mind. And so I'll cut to the chase real fast and then we can talk about all the stuff around it and what the implications are. They did the study and it turns out the results are that you're timing your calorie intake and fasting for large portions of the day and stuff like that, or not eating at certain hours in the morning or before certain hours at the end of the day at night. Any timing of your calorie intake has no effect, significant effect on weight loss. Right?
Yeah.
And so that's the results of the study. They studied it with like almost 550 people. They looked at people in different categories of eating different amounts of small, medium, or large meals at different times of the day. Like it was a very well designed study that looked at all the factors. I won't go into those details and everything because really the takeaway is that they found that it didn't matter. In general, this is funny that they listed this in the results. In general, they found that people who ate more large meals gained weight and people who ate fewer small meals lost weight.
Wow. You don't say. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Water is wet and sky is blue.
Exactly. And so that it's funny that we say that and you're like, what, you know, duh, what's the point of the study? But that's kind of what they're trying to say is that what it really boils down to is the common sense idea that it really is just calories in and calories out. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. As long as you're just thinking about losing weight. Now, it gets more complicated if you're talking about nutrition and other health outcomes, right? But if you're just talking about losing weight, then that's what matters. There's no link between limiting food for specific time windows, fasting, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's just calories in and calories out.
Sure.
And so you guys were talking about discipline. Scott, you were talking about, you know, restricting your food to a certain time of the day. And in the discussion of the paper, they talked about how that is probably the reason why you see so much anecdotal success with intermittent fasting, is that you're literally just restricting the amount of time that you are allowed to consume food. So if anybody who doesn't know, intermittent fasting is just you're not allowed to start eating until you fast for a large portion of the day, and you're only allowed to eat during this time window. But during that time window, you can eat whatever you want.
Yeah. See, that's the part she told me not to do. She said,
right,
don't just eat whatever you want, eat healthy, normal meals. But then, you know, you've now limited your time, and you've also had a smart meal during that time. Like, if I ate whatever I want during that window, I'd eat 3 pizzas and 4 hamburgers. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. What's the benefit?
Yeah.
Right.
But you know, the kind of the benefit that I do see from that is that you know, going those long periods where you're not eating, you're teaching yourself to get by on being a little bit hungry, and that it's okay to be a little bit hungry and to not overeat until you're full, and then keep going beyond that.
Right.
So that's one thing I can see.
It does build good. Maybe not good is the wrong word, but it builds habits about, you know, shows you what proper hunger feels like, all that kind of stuff. But they were saying that really what this does, intermittent fasting, and why so many people anecdotally experience success, is because you're limiting the window of time that you can consume calories, and it's just our stomachs are only so big. Mm-hmm. So you're only going to be able to consume so many calories during that time. Now, some people will just cram it down, you know, maybe. And that they won't see success there. But like your typical person, you're going to eat, and during the window you can eat, and then you're going to be like, oh, well, I'm full now, I don't want to eat anymore. And so you're going to lose weight because you're going to, at the end of the day, in that day, you've only consumed a certain number of calories, right?
Right.
Right.
Right, right. So, no, that makes sense. I mean, as always, these things are usually, they boil down to like a couple of consistent truths. So when someone has a new fad diet, they're either just redecorating, like putting frosting on an existing working thing, or they make a bunch of promises that you can't actually.
Well, that's what it is, right? You've got a ton of science that shows, because there is research out there that shows that, for example, there was a study that came out last year that showed if you consumed... Like if you did, it was something about breakfast time. Like if you didn't eat before a certain time. Oh no! Here's what it was. It's if you had a certain amount of calories first thing in the morning when you woke up, it led to some kind of a weight loss. But and they found that it was just a small effect, but it was still an effect. And it was probably you could speculate as to why that is. And they say it was probably because you like preloaded a full feeling, and then you felt fuller for more of the day.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was a small effect, and that's what it is. Is there's all these other things you can do that will give like a little bit, maybe 10% of an overall effect, but 90% of weight loss is just calorie restriction. That's all you do. That's what it is. Every day you're going to burn a number of calories. You need to make sure that you're consuming less calories than that. So and that's the bottom line. And it's that 10%, this is the reason I got on this in the first place, it's that 10% of like science that pokes at the edges of different things that will work, that is really marketable. Everybody wants to really sell you on that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So and that's why, because the 90% isn't sexy and attractive. It's not cool, you know. It's not a thing that you can do. It's just stop eating.
Yeah, that's right. Basically, you know? It. Yeah, it's unfortunate
and that's frustrating, but that's unfortunately for some people. That's
well, part of the reason is because it represents this promise of less work, less less right, commitment, exactly. less sacrifice.
Like don't worry about the discipline. All you have to do is this one simple step and you'll lose weight. And it's
yeah,
so
it's always
true.
BS. Always. Not always. Like we said, like you said, there's always the sliver of something, right? Like you could do, I don't know, Atkins, and you could say, well, yeah, increased intake of protein versus fats and carbs. And blah, blah. You know, you can come up with like a little pivot reason why this is a good idea.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I don't know any 90-year-olds who are really healthy who ate nothing but fried chicken for the last 20 years, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. I think you just got to do the hard thing.
I do want to make it clear to people who might be hearing this and think that I'm saying that, you know, intermittent fasting or something like that, like you shouldn't do it. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. If there's a takeaway point here, it's that intermittent fasting may work as a strategy for some people to restrict their calories. Scott, you said it was working for you, and it may be because, like, if you're like me, I think intermittent fasting would work for me. And the reason is I have a hard time when I get started eating. I love to keep eating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beyond the full point. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I love snacking. So if I can get the discipline, as you put it, Brian, to say, well, okay, I'm only going to do that during a certain portion of the day, that might work for me, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, that's 100%.
I also grew up in a house where you were punished if you did not take all the food that was put on your plate, not the food that you put on your plate, but the food that somebody else put on your plate. So
I grew up, we were pretty poor growing up, and so we would like maybe once a year get the opportunity to go to a restaurant. And so it was like, this is amazing, I'm gonna eat all kinds of stuff. And to this day, I you know, we go to restaurants whenever we want to, but to this day, going to a restaurant, I have a really hard time not like ordering an appetizer, a big thing, maybe a dessert and a side, and then cramming it all in because it's like,
when, like, it's a special treat. When are we going to get to do this
like,
again?
Yeah, but like, exactly. When I was young, I was like, when is the next time I'm going to be at Applebee's? Oh my God.
Right.
Yeah. Now you're basically describing me. That's my pattern.
Yeah.
And that's the part I struggle with the most. But it's almost like you don't even have to call this intermittent fasting. All we're really talking about is like, eat less.
Different strategies for controlling how much you eat.
Yeah, but these people that are like, I'm Wednesday through Friday, I'm not eating a thing. If that's working
for
you, I guess go for it.
Mondays, I eat whatever I want, as much as I can to get me through those 3 days.
That doesn't seem good. That seems bad. Not bad.
Yeah, I hear people who will...
Even if it works in the short term, it's not sustainable. You're not going to be able, once you've gotten to your desired weight, you're not going to be able to keep that up.
Yeah. I hear of people who will go like on a week-long fast. That's dangerous.
Yeah, it is. It's the kind of, it's like you're basically starving. You're starving yourself, but you don't want to do that. Your liver's going to take a big shit in your veins. These are all made up things that I'm saying now. These are not true. Anyway, well, that's very good. I love debunking health stuff. And so, obviously you've got a thing for it as well. So I like it when you come on here and do it. Bobby, tell people where they can get more science out of you on a regular basis.
Oh, well, we have a podcast called All Around Science where we talk about sciencey stuff and what's going on in the world of science and everything. We just had an episode that just released yesterday, and it was all about something that I can't remember, and I'm stalling to pull up some notes.
It must have been a really riveting moment.
Yeah. It's it was about a really exciting thing that
I bet I can tell you before you get there. Hold on.
It's about brains. It was about how our brains actually evolved.
Oh yeah, your title is "Look at the Big Brain on Brains" or on Humans, sorry.
Yeah. Right.
Too many brains.
It was how it evolved, and if we're so evolutionarily and genetically similar to chimpanzees, how is it our brains are so much bigger? What were the contributed to that if our genes are so similar? Because they're like 99% the same as chimpanzees.
Yeah, but, that's awesome. So well, chimps are pretty wild, baby. That'll do it for having you here today, but we'll have you back next week. Don't worry. Don't worry. Yep. And don't go crash, please.
Yeah, as long as flying goes well, I'll be here next week.
Please keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right. You're one day you will be Top Gun. See you later. Okay. well, good. It didn't hang up on us this time like last week. I did the exact same thing and it didn't do it.
So.
Woo-hoo. All right, a couple quick things. A friendly reminder. This is the week. At the end of this week, I'm going to be able to take all these numbers and figure out what our swag counts are going to be. So if you have not gone to Vegas, VivaTMSVegas.com and gotten your tickets reserved and or your swag if you're not coming, you need to do it quickly because this is the week where we make those head counts, and I need to kind of get a better idea who's coming. It doesn't mean that there still won't be tickets or you can't get them.
Right, we won't cut things off, but come on, just get your tickets. Even if you haven't booked your flight or your hotel yet, get your tickets, lock those in because that's what we base things on and space and that sort of thing.
All of it. And if I'm going to get all your swag ready, I need to know. So get over there and get it done. VivaTMSVegas.com. The links are there for both the swag and swag plus ticket options right now. So just scroll on the page.
That's the good way of putting it, right? You'll still get in. You may not get swag if you don't get your ticket now.
That's right. Speaking of Vegas, we got a question via text. This came from a listener named Nobody. He's anonymous. He doesn't have a name. Named Nobody. He sent this in and says, hey, TMS crew. Michael. Duh. Michael here in Edmonton. I always look forward to the end of your messages, and if I don't see it throws me. It's
like anon.
Anyway, says, question for Brian. You may have already told us this, but I can't remember. Do you have a Brian's recommendation for Vegas trip list? We're going to be a couple of first-timers, and it seems overwhelming. Please help. Did you ever put anywhere where people could just like nab this or have this?
I did, but it needs to be updated. Coverville.com/Vegas is the page where I've set all this stuff up. But there's so much stuff I need to update on there. There's no mention of Area 15. There's no mention of Omega Mart and Meow Wolf and that sort of thing. So basically, I need to just redo that whole page and say, all right, where to stay, here's some recommendations. Where to go to eat or where to eat, some recommendations. And then what to see while you're there, some recommendations. So like Meow Wolf and that really cool burlesque whiskey tasting thing that's also over in Area 15 that I did with Barry and Tristan, and that was just such a cool experience.
Awesome. So watch for updates there then.
Yep. So go there. Michael? There's stuff already there, but there'll be more stuff soon.
Very nice. Love to see people from Edmonton in Vegas. So we look forward to seeing you.
To Canadians.
That's right. Hey, if you're listening to the show right now and you're going, man, it's January 24th. Where am I going to put my couple of bucks next month? I got good news for you. We are a receptacle for your extra money.
Mm-hmm. We'll take your money happily.
That's right. Patreon.com/TMS. It's as simple as that. No ads ever. Pre-show content every week, or every day, rather. Things like couch parties and play dates. By the way, a play date this weekend. We're playing the brand new Jackbox 9 collection, which just happened. It actually happened in October, but I didn't know about it.
I know. Every time I go into Steam and I see that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to make note of that for the next time we do play date. And I keep forgetting.
We don't know
any of the things that are in there, right?
No, like, other than what I saw when I bought it and just saw some names, but I don't know what they are. So we're going to experiment together and figure it out. It's receiving well received, like they always seem to be. I'm hearing Fibbage 4 is excellent. That's the one thing I know or that I've heard.
Cool.
So anyway, all of that this weekend, and often couch parties as well. Art in the mail, other great benefits that you can only get benefits if you go to patreon.com/TMS. Let's get out of here with some music, Brian.
Well, okay. Rob Garcia wrote in and said, hey, I need an awesome rock song to announce to the world the entrance of two new adults. Scott and Brian, I would like to have you play a song for my twin sons, Alec and Zach, who turned 18 this past weekend. It's actually two weekends ago. This was from the 9th.
So wait, are you saying so it's a birthday of twins? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Listen to this.
Let's party.
All right. That's all I wanted to do.
TRPW is saying, did you see Safia Nygaard's Every Hotel in Vegas videos? Yeah, but that one, unless there's a different one, that one just is on the Strip. So basically everything from the Stratosphere down to Mandalay Bay. I didn't see one where she stayed at downtown places.
Yeah, that would be good to include because there's a lot of rad stuff down there. Yeah,
exactly. So yeah, if you see one that's got downtown, that's great. But listen, I've been talking with Bernadette. She is so excited to see all of us and welcome the TMS group back there. So there's, you know, there's no other place as far as I'm concerned to stay downtown. Anyway, seemed like yesterday we brought Alec and Zach home for the first time as their dad. I'm super proud of the young men they've become, and I'm looking forward to what the future brings as they start college in the fall. Brian, please find an awesome rock song to announce the arrival of two new adults. I've been listening since show number one, and the boys always cracked up when Scott played the fart sounds before going to the news. Well, now you heard it at the end of the birthday clip. Scott, can you give us an epic fart symphony? Wow. And check the phasers while ordering a fish sandwich and eating rice.
Oh, my gosh. Too many combos, but I will give you this brand new fresh fart sound I've been using lately.
Fresh farts.
Yeah, good, I love this one. Here you go. Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
And that came out of a person. That's not made up. That's real.
That came out of the bottom of a person or the top of a person?
That came out of their butthole. Right there.
Wow.
Yeah. And the only reason I know that is I captured it from a YouTube video where the guy took his phone and captured it. And I got it from, or no, it was TikTok. Well, wherever. Jamie sent this. He says, you have to use this. Okay. I said, you're right, Jamie. I do. So I'm using it. All right. That's all you're getting. Oh, wait. I'll give you the phasers, though. Why not? Let's see.
Sure.
Here we go.
Let's test the ship's phasers.
Sure, why not?
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, good. Let's get to this. Look, they're not kids anymore. However, because I couldn't find a good cover of I'm an Adult Now by The Pursuit of Happiness. I love that song, but couldn't find a really good cover of it, so decided to go with Kids. How about Kids in America? Of course, the song originally done by Kim Wilde. There's a new version of it that came out on a Netflix show that I think I recommended last year called Do Revenge.
You did.
This is the version. There you go. Yep. I think Kim watched it. You didn't though, right?
Yeah, I have not yet, but Kim really liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Here is the version by Maud Latour from the soundtrack to Do Revenge.
Very nice. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a Wednesday edition of The Morning Stream.
Everybody lives for the music.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hey, sugar, sweeten up. I saved your life.